Want to hear more of Bishop Lambert? Now you can access recent sermons preached by Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. from your computer and mobile device. Just visit ericlambertministries.com. ericlambertministries.com is updated each week with the most recent sermons preached by Bishop Lambert right after our 7:30 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Sunday services. Purchase and download these uplifting messages so you can listen to the Word of God wherever you go. So visit ericlambertministries.com and add to your digital library today.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
I'm going to say something in the context of this message that's going to infuriate some. God calls us and places us in a position of use. He doesn't understand why you're not there. So here's what he says. Verse 12, I'm going to do this to you, O Israel, and because I will do this unto you, prepare to meet God. We're not preparing. We use salvation as an excuse for an indisciplined life. I'm saved. That's all right. I'm saved. Everything's fine. I don't have to live a disciplined life. I don't have to pray. I don't have to read my Bible. I don't have to go to church if I don't want to, because God didn't call me into bondage. So I'm going to go over, and I'm going to go to the play, and they have the play on Sunday. So I know I should be at church because there's a responsibility that I have. And if I'm not in my place on the wall, then the wall may fall. There was a man of God who has since gone home to be with the Lord, and he told a story once that his father died, and he was supposed to go and conduct a three-night revival, and he heard that his father died, and he went to the Lord, and he said, Lord, what shall I do? And the Lord said, let the dead bury the dead. You go preach my word. It doesn't take much for us to be out of church. It doesn't take much. It don't take much. We just go, oh, well, I won't be in church this week because my godson is having a photo shoot for a Time magazine, and I just need to be there. God says, oh, really? Then let me give your godson a big pimple on the end of his nose, and they'll cancel the shoot. And we think God's supposed to be all right with that. God is supposed to be all right with a lackadaisical response to him. I'll come whenever I want to, but you better come whenever I need you. Listen, I need you now. And just to show you how serious I am, I'm going fast. I need you now. God says, well, where were you last week when I was moving by my spirit and you were supposed to be on your post and you were off doing something else that you wanted to do? Because we think that salvation means irresponsibility. I don't have to go to church. I don't feel like going to church. Well, let's switch it. I'm God today. Heal me, Lord. I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it. God, you're supposed to do whatever I ask you to do, and you're not. You're not supposed to be on your post. You're a Christian. Well, I just don't feel like going. Well, Lord, I don't have any way to get to church. Well, I don't have no way to get to you. We're in different dimensions. I don't have no way to get to you. The chariot is busy. There's no Uber in heaven. I don't have any way to get to you. Fine. If you don't want to use your body for me, then I'll just step back. I love back in 9/11 of 2001. I love it when the planes hit everywhere in the United States. I loved what Jack Hayford said. Jack Hayford said this was not judgment from God, but this was God moving his hand for a little while and then putting it back. God was trying to show you that if I move my hand and keep it gone, you see what'll happen? So he quickly put it back and shut them down after three crashes. Don't you know that our lives are covered by the hand of God, and that while his covering has nothing to do with us because it comes by grace, there are responsibilities to that covering. If there was nothing to our participation, then why would he tell us to prepare? If there were nothing to it, if there were nothing to the preparation, if there was nothing to us communicating and connecting with him, then why would he say prepare? And what does he mean, prepare? Does it mean carry your Bible? No, because you weren't saved to carry your Bible. Does it mean that we just go around doing ministry? No. God is tired of people talking about, God is calling me to him. God is calling me to him. And then when it's time to be on your post, we're not there. I feel the Lord wanting to, brother wrote me the other day, I feel like I'm in a new season. And when I read it, the Spirit of God said, yeah, a new season. He didn't do anything with the other one. And I'm fully cognizant of seasonal development. I ate a peach the other day. Season's over. It was dry. I felt like taking it back to the store, but I had already bitten it, so I just kept on eating it, and I got it down, praise God. But I said, the season is over. It's over. And so I understand the ramification of working outside of one season, but I also know that seasonal adjustments means that you have extracted everything you can from the season that you're in. Don't ask God to do something new when we can't be faithful in something else. The Bible says, how can God give you your own when you're not faithful in another man's house? Woo! I'm making people mad today, but that's all right. I feel good. Come on. Come on. Float like a butterfly. Sting like a bee. Omar, you always come back when I preach these kind of messages so people can beat me up. You best get yourself together and come down here and fight for me. Take one look at him. Every devil going back up. Listen to God. God says, prepare to meet him. What does it mean to prepare to meet him? Listen, now he decides, I need to let you know a little bit more about my power. He said, for lo, he that what? Forms the mountains. Now listen to me, you that are scientists, okay? I share a passion for certain aspects of science. Certain aspects. Not all of them, okay? Because it's very boring to me. I like math. Math is absolute. It's real. It doesn't go anywhere. You can't fool with it. It's there. Hallelujah. I love it. I love it. So science, it's good. I mean, I kind of dabble in it because it's so wondrous. But listen to what God said. You scientists, see, you believe that through a series of evolutionary moves, the waters carved the mountains. No. New. God didn't say the Colorado River made the Grand Canyon. It's not what he said. He said, I formed those mountains. Ah, God help me. Watch. Some of you have seen the Grand Canyon. Some of you have been up on the glass walk, right? I had breakfast at the bottom of Grand Canyon. I was down there for my 30th birthday. I took a helicopter ride, and he landed right in the bottom of the Grand Canyon, and we had breakfast. And I looked around at the majesty of God, and my mouth dropped open. There's not much that awes me. That awed me. I said, my God, I didn't even want to eat my oatmeal. And the guy said, but see, with all beauty, there's danger. He said, sir, hurry up and eat. Because the mountain lions and the cougars will smell your food. I ate that oatmeal so fast. Shucks. It was like 4 tablespoons. It was gone. I said, all right.
He said they come right down that trail. He said the rattlesnakes and everything else. He said that's why not too many people come down here. And I'm thinking, I said, my God, it's so beautiful, but it's so deadly. Don't you know that that's how life is? That when you move into a dimension of spiritual beauty, the devil is right there with ugliness. He's there with gossip, jealousy, foolishness, anxiety, fear, all the ugly stuff. Every time, notice the children of Israel did not encounter the Hittites and the Jebusites until they wanted to go into their land. Don't you get it? The blessings are nothing. It's God that's everything. Don't rejoice that you got a new car. Rejoice that you can drive. Don't rejoice that you got a new job. Rejoice that you can walk. Don't rejoice that you can see beautiful stuff. Rejoice that your eyes are still working. Stuff can be replaced, but it's God that makes you. Don't get all happy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I got a Mercedes. Praise the Lord. I got an S-Class. Praise the Lord. No, no, no. Praise the Lord that I have motor skills. I can turn that wheel. Hallelujah. Don't get me started now. See, people curse this area. Oh, it's bad. Oh, it's terrible. Oh, it's rotten up in there. How can you live there? But you ain't hunkering down from no hurricane. Even the hurricanes are afraid to come up here. They die. Well, as they come up north, them people gonna cut us. The weatherman even said today, he said that as it entered into Alabama and kept coming north, he said there's a wind shear that comes from the Midwest that's gonna slice that thing in half, and it's gonna go from 100 mile an hour winds down to 20 mile. I said, my God, send the wind. Send the wind. Don't you know that when you're moving forward in God, there's a satanic wind that tries to stop you, but God is there with you to keep you moving? Prepare to meet him. Notice what he says. He said, lo, he that forms the mountain. He didn't say, I create mountains. He said, I form them. You look at the Matterhorn, right? And you look at how big, how beautiful, you think that happened from water? No. God said, I formed it. Watch this now. Now, if God spent so much time forming the mountain, hold on. He formed the mountains for you to enjoy, but he formed you for him to enjoy. You can't live in no mountain, but he can live in you. He made you for him. He didn't make you for the mountain. He made the mountains for you, but he made you for him. Don't you get it? Jesus didn't die so you can have stuff. He died so God could have you. I house God. I house God. I'm somebody. I ain't somebody because of my degree. I'm not somebody because of my prestige. I'm not somebody because of my theological position. I'm not somebody because I pastor a church. I'm not somebody because the Lord has blessed me and given me a responsibility over churches. No, I'm somebody because I house God. He lives in me. There's a saying in my house, my daughter and I like to joke about it. Whenever Sister Lambert goes away for a week or so, and she's just gone doing whatever she's doing, and my daughter will come over the house and she sees dishes in the sink and the bed isn't made. She said, Mom ain't home, is she, Dad? No, you know it. But then she'll send me a text and say, well, my flight is due in at 4 o'clock on such and such a day. And Shanina will say, when's Mom coming home? I say, at such and such a time. Then she knows every dish is going to be washed. The bed that has been left unmade for the last 6 days will be supernaturally made. The trash will be put out, tied up. Why? Because Mama's coming. Watch now. Jesus is coming. And all the stuff that you've been nonchalant about over the past few years, he's coming. He ain't on his way because it don't take that long to get here. But he's coming. Have you prepared? say, well, how am I supposed to prepare? What am I supposed to do? Now some Pentecostal theologians say, well, you got to stop smoking cigarettes, and you got to stop sinning, and you got to stop drinking. That ain't preparing to meet God. That's preparing yourself for you. Because God is here with us right now, but there's not one perfect person in this building. Not even me. I'm not perfect. I have issues. I have issues and cashews. So what is Amos, what is he crying? What is he saying? Listen to this. He said, he that forms the mountain, notice what else. He said, and creates the wind. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Majesty of God. He said, create. You thought the wind just happened. Ooh. No. God said, I created. I create the north wind, the south wind, the east wind. I'm creating her. I created Hurricane Irma. Now, see, people, I know some of you right now, you more modern Christians, you're going, well, why would God do that? Why would he do something that causes that amount of devastation? You know what he said to me? He said, but I've given you tools so you can get out of the way. Let that sink in. See, God could have fixed it so that there were no meteorologists, that there was no National Hurricane Center. God could have fixed it so no one would be able to gauge the direction. And you just wake up one morning with your roof in your lap. But because he loves us, because he cares, he says, I've ordained the hurricane, but I'm getting you out of the way. And you aren't leaving anything that can't be replaced, Job. You think that what the hurricane will take away from you, I can't double it. You think I'm not going to show you my power when this is over? Weeping is enduring in the night. But there's a joyful time coming when you look over and all five of your kids are standing there next to you. You look over and everybody that means something to you is still alive. You lost your car, but that's why I created insurance. You lost your house, but they're going to build you a better one. But your children are there. But your family is there. Don't question my motives. Don't look at what you lost. Look at what you have. I'm still alive. I create the wind. Listen to this. Whoa! Praise God. He said, I create the wind. Listen to what he said. And I declare unto man what is his thought. This is going to blow your mind. I tell you what to think. Now, I know some of you are, you know, like real secular humanistic. Don't nobody tell me what to think. I'm the captain of my ship. I'm the master of my fate. Duh. May I give you personal testimony? I decided that I needed 4 to 5 days of mental decompression because of all the things that had been going on over the past 6 months. And I decided that it was time for me to decompress. I said I wasn't going to be away on Sunday. I said, but I was going to leave Tuesday and come back home Saturday because I needed a time of decompression. And my decompression site is Orlando. That's my decompression site. Some of you go to Blue Mountain. God bless you. And I said, I was going to do that. I had forgotten all about the fact that I had a pastor's gathering in the mountain, and I was just going to call Denise and tell her to cancel it because I needed this decompression. And so I made my flight reservations, and the first one I made was for me to leave Tuesday and come back Saturday afternoon and take that maybe 5 o'clock flight out of Orlando and come and get home at 7:30. I'd still have enough time for my Sunday worship. I was sitting at my computer, and the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, change your flight to Friday. I said, devil, you're a liar. Absolutely not. You're just trying to get me to keep working. I need Sabbath. I said, no, I ain't doing it. But God only speaks to me once. The devil speaks to me twice. So when I didn't hear it again, I said, I better move. I went back on the computer and changed it. God invaded my thoughts, ruined my vacation. I went on and I changed it. When I got down, when I was down there, and Thursday, everybody's starting to panic, and people, and I said, well, just let me go to the American website and see about another flight. I went on there Thursday, and there were none.
They didn't have one plane leaving, one seat available Friday or Saturday. And then they decided to shut the airport down Saturday at 5 o'clock. I said, God, you love me. You love me. He invaded my thoughts. You actually think, God, don't get into your mind. He said, I'm the one. I declare unto man what is his thought. I not only read your thoughts, I give you what to think. I know this text in actual exegesis. God says, I know what you're thinking. But because he's my daddy, he knows what to tell me. The time. Listen to what he says. He makes the morning dark. And he treads upon the high places. He's asking a question through this speech. Who is he that forms the mountains, creates the winds, declare unto man what is his thought, puts thoughts in his mind, makes the morning darkness, and treads upon the high places of the earth? Jehovah. Jehovah Sabaoth. That's his name. Go to Exodus 19. Amos said, prepare to meet God. Now, most times in the Pentecostal church, when we hear about this particular scripture in Amos, we start invoking some level of Pharisaical holiness. All right, now you got to prepare to meet God. You got to stop drinking, go home and throw out your liquor. Bring your cigarettes and put them down on the altar. That's so the preacher can pick them up and smoke them later. But bring your cigarettes. And you know, secretly, through the veil of religion, we have begun to reinstitute satanic priesthood. Listen to me very carefully. When you go in for so-called counseling in church, 90% of your ministers have no counseling experience or training. So they're giving you biblical advice. They're not giving you counseling. They're giving you biblical advice. And you go in and you just pour out your heart to the people. They mean well. They do. But you pour your heart out. They start asking you very personal questions. Pastor, I don't get along with my husband anymore. Pastor, things aren't working out between us. Are y'all still having sex? What's that got to do with anything? Trying to get into your business so they can hold it over you. That stuff started in the book of Genesis under the Nimrod administration, where that's where the priesthood or the confessional comes from, where you could go in and tell the priest anything under the guise of the confessional. But now the priests in the olden times, around the 4th and 5th century, they would use that information to blackmail you. And that's what's happening today. You go in and you sit and talk with your man or woman of God, and they just, remember now, I know what you did. Yeah, well, I know what you did. Because you were there with me. That's why you should not put your trust in anyone but Jesus. Now, you trust me to fulfill my scriptural responsibilities. That's correct. But if I go nuts, and as some says, as if I go left, don't you lose your walk with Christ. Don't you get so, I can't believe I trusted Pastor Lambert, and now he just acted all crazy. I ain't coming to church no more. No, no. Yes, trust me to follow Christ. Follow me as I follow him. But if I stop following him, leave me alone. Don't sit there, I can't believe this. I just cannot believe this. I just cannot believe it. Believe it and move on. The pastor down in Africa, in a large church, over 5,000 people come every week to kneel. He sits in a throne, and they come and they kneel at his feet and kiss his feet. See, all this bringing money and putting it at the altar and bringing it and putting it at the preacher's feet is a perversion of scripture. Do you understand? Nobody ever put anything at Jesus' feet but themselves.
Not one person walked up to Jesus and said, oh, thank you, Jesus. No. And then Jesus has an adjutant to come and scoop up all the money. No, but they came and fell at his feet. And the altar is only for people, not for money. And I don't care who stands behind this desk. We invite people because I try to fellowship, and I don't want our church to be a cult and become Lambertites. That's wrong. I want to bring in other men and women of God. And one part of their theology doesn't demonize their entire lives. But if somebody gets up and says, praise God, we want to take an offering, we want you to come put the money at the altar. If you're a member of this church, you better not do it. You are not disobeying the preacher. You're obeying your father. And they're going to say, I can't believe this. I can't believe this. Then that's when the deacons and the ministers say, we are trained not to do that. Now, I'm not going to say a word. I'm going to sit right there, and I'm not going to say a word. I'm going to see how far it goes. This is a Jesus place. You won't be falling all out when somebody calls you out. And praise the Lord showed me you have high blood pressure. Well, who in here don't? I mean, you can just roll the dice. Just throw a stick. It'll hit somebody with high blood pressure. You don't need discernment. It's cultural. And you go, oh, Lord, that's me. Everybody ought to stand up when they do that. Every single one of you. Let them pray for 755 people. No, that's not what this is about. All the theatrics, all the gimmicks, all of that junk, it takes us away from our true, true calling. Husbands don't leave wives because of sex. They're not in search of better sex. Sex happens because of better treatment. The cleanup woman understands. Listen carefully. Don't snicker, listen. We're adults. Listen carefully. And see, if more people would teach this stuff, we'd have less divorce. Listen carefully. You get jealous because they look at somebody else. The look is no big deal. There's a physical attraction that happens. It just happens. But he ain't leaving because of the look. It's the treatment. When you emasculate him, make him feel like a little boy. Get on over there and move those shoes. Why you? Get up. I got to tell you everything. What the heck? Now, the cleanup woman, she comes along. And she said, now you tell your man, look at you, belly all big, you don't have a six pack, you got a keg. What happened to all that? You didn't look like that when we got married. The cleanup woman says, come here, bring that over here, that's just more to hold on to. Now he's lifted up. Come on over here and let me rub my hand across your head. She's going, where's the hair? And she said, the cleanup woman says, no, I like that. And he just, you're not losing him for the physical. You're losing him for the emotional. She's making him feel good about himself. Well, that's what God says. God isn't losing us to blessings. He's losing us because we don't know how to make God feel good. Come on. The devil is slipping in. See, the devil will give you stuff. Yes, he will. He'll give you stuff. He'll back out. He'll give you a car you can't pay for, a house that you can't manage. He'll give you a person that you can't get along with. He'll give you a spouse that keeps you out of church. Yes, he will. He'll let you have any old thing your flesh desires. And God is sitting there saying, why don't you praise me? Well, Lord, you've done nothing substantial for me to praise you. I don't have that nice car. He says, yeah, but you're alive.
Now, oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Listen to this, Exodus 19, glory. Verse 1, in the third month when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they to the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and they come to the desert of Sinai, and they pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, this thou shalt say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings. Listen to this. And brought you to myself. Brothers and sisters, that's the essence of the relationship. He doesn't say, I brought you out of Egypt so you could have a land. The land is secondary. He says, I brought you to me. Are you satisfied with your spiritual life just being connected to God? Or are you so dissatisfied because you don't have what someone else has to the point where you become covetous? Ministers of the gospel, pastors and leaders operate under covetousness sometimes. They look at the size of someone's church, preferably churches like Dallas and Houston and San Antonio, and they look at that and they say, oh my God, and they begin to put it down. He don't even preach the Bible. He don't even say nothing about the Lord. He just get up and he just a feel-good preacher. Trying to find anything wrong to justify their lack of movement. Because our salvation, unfortunately, has been made to connect with what we have. So those who have a lot, we think that they're close to God. Oh, he must really walk close to God. Look at what he has. Praise the Lord. I was at a church a few weeks ago. And I was on the convening committee of this young man's elevation to the bishopric. And the presider of that decided that he was going to lift the offering. And I'm sitting there. And I had already asked the Lord how much to give. I had my check written out. I asked before I get there so I don't fall prey to the charlatan mentality of keep begging. So I asked, and God told me what to give. I had the check already written. I was ready to give it. And he stood up and he said, we're going to believe the Lord for $70,000 tonight. And don't go, ooh, because we're going to believe the Lord for $70,000. But don't even go, that terrible. No, baby. No. No. But watch this. So then he says, now I need 20 of you to stand up and give $1,000. Now I'm going to start this with $3,500. Why was that necessary to tell us? Bible said, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. It's a psychological ploy. Because if I stand up and say, I'm going to give $3,500, you're going to start feeling some pressure to give $1,000. Because if the man of God is giving $3,500, then you're going to outdo him. Or at least match him. And so people give out of that desire, that pride, covetousness. While we do have a scriptural responsibility to encourage you to give, not for the house, but for you. My teachings on giving have nothing to do with Bethel. They have everything to do with you. And when you apply them to your lives, it raises your standard. That's why I teach it the way that I do. God will take care of his house, but there's a principle for you. And the reason why some of you are living beneath that privilege and principle is because you've decided that you're just not going to cooperate with the word of God. I can't do anything about that. And so God says, I brought you out of Egypt and I bear you up on eagle's wings. He said, now therefore, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people. Notice what he's doing again. First, in verse 4, he says, I brought you to myself. In verse 5, you'll be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for the earth is mine. How many of you own something?
All right. If you own it, can't you do anything you want to with it? If you own something, can't you pick it up and destroy it if you want to? Because it's yours. Well, the earth is God's. And if he wants to send hurricanes, he can send them. Because it's his. Now watch this. This is great. Watch this. My trade, the training and the experience that I have in my trade allows me sometimes to break stuff. Because I know I can fix it. Way over your head. Still over your head. My experience, my training, my trade says to me that if I made this cabinet, let me give you a good example. Several years ago, we bought a new bed and a box spring. And I'm not a box spring specialist. So I purchased a full box spring. And we couldn't get it up the steps. It hit the ceiling going up the steps. I didn't know about split box springs. And the guy didn't tell me because I guess he just tried to sell it to me. So my nephew and I are trying to get this thing up the steps, and it would not go. Now listen to me very carefully, because the ceiling was in the way. Now, I'm a carpenter. The ceiling is in my way. Some of you getting it. I said, Binky, go down there and get me a hammer. He brought the hammer up. I busted the ceiling. That thing got upstairs. Then I went out and bought some drywall and fixed it. Because it was my house and I knew how to do it. If God wants to send something on his world, he can fix it afterwards. God says, I'll let the thing come, and when it's gone, I'll fix everything that it destroyed. I will restore the years that the locust and the caterpillar and the cankerworm and the palmer worm have taken from you. Your physical health is not in decay. It's in repair. Glory to God. God's going to give you back your health. God's going to fix your situation. Listen, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. But notice, everything was done. We got the vacuum cleaner and cleaned it before Sister Lambert came home. We cleaned that bad boy. Cleaned it up. Everything God does is not, it's not without purpose. It's not without purpose. When he lets stuff come into your life, there's a purpose. Don't say, God, why? Say, God, what? What do you want me to see? Let him turn you into a Joseph. Not why am I in Potiphar's house, but what are you going to do while I'm in Potiphar's house? What? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I am the Lord your God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie, bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not covet anything that is thy neighbor's. And we boldly pontificate our holiness. Praise God. I don't steal. I don't commit adultery. I don't lie. I have no idols. I don't use the Lord's name in vain. When I hit my thumb, I don't say, oh, God. Nope, I don't do that. I don't go around just throwing the Lord's name at every situation. I don't even say, God bless you when someone sneezes. I say, Gesundheit. I don't throw God's name around. But there is one commandment that all of us violate. And if hell is the reward for this broken commandment, every single one of us are going. remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is holy unto the Lord. Thou shalt do no work. That means that one day out of seven, you should rest this temple. But every one of us in here are going 7 days, 8 days a week, eight. Daniel says the Antichrist will seek to change the times. What does that mean? He created the eighth day philosophically by causing banks and stores to be open 24 hours a day. You don't have any rest anymore. I marvel at how we feel that we need to just keep moving. Drive past any store with a drive-thru. The drive-thru has 1,373 cars, and there's nobody inside because we don't want to interact with people. Watch now. If you don't want to interact with people, you don't want to interact with God. How are you going to interact with God? God even said, you can't love me if you don't love people. You can't love people if you don't interact with them. I don't want to go inside. Why? Because then I got to talk to people. So I stay in my car. Why don't we put a drive-through window at Bethel? Just pull up and get a CD. You got to pay first, though. Pull up to window one and give you your tithes. Window two, you pick up your DVD. Hallelujah. Take your 15 minutes. Why? Because we don't want to interact with God. Let's create this quick, fast, and a hurry salvation. Get us out of here by 10 o'clock. I got a seat at the buffet. Pastor, you can't keep me here. I'm sitting too long. Those are 4-inch foam seats. They're not hard Baptist seats. We bought them so that you could be comfortable because I preach long. I ain't changing because you got a sciatic nerve pinch. Get up and walk it out. But God says, I'm seeking. Why does he seek us? As neurotic and psychotic as we are, as narcissistic as we are, why is he seeking us? Why? Would you go into a crystal shop and buy cracked vases? No. You'd pick up that Wedgwood and look at it and say, ooh, there's a little ding there. Oh, I'm not buying that. Or if you're inner city, you'll say, I'll take it, but can we do something with the price? I'm not giving you $400. How about I give you $250? You see this crack right here? So you are willing to spend less if it's fractured. Watch this. God purchased us for full price.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
9217A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and broadcast television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. a place where miracles still happen.